I preached my last sermon at the chapel on this. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, this is Paul, why are you proud? If it's a gift, you're not proud, you're grateful.
Welcome to part two of this week's message in our series, Chasing Wisdom. Every week this summer at Three Creeks Church, we're chasing wisdom by looking at what God says about pursuing a life well-lived. The second part of the chase is finding people who have followed God for a long time and gained wisdom. Let's hear what they have to say.
Hey, Three Creeks Church, what's up? It's Joel. It's week two, part two. We're talking about envy. The book of Proverbs says that a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I'm here today with pastor, friend, mentor, coach, Newt Larson. He has been married for 58 years, so I've got a lot to learn from him just based on that. Has two daughters, both married, three grandchildren, was a pastor at a Charis Fellowship Church. At the time, it was known as a Grace Brethren Church in Ashland, Ohio, and then was the pastor at the chapel in Akron for 26 years, and now lives in that state up north, unfortunately. Newt, you know, I thought you were wise. I'm surprised that you skirted by.
Well, it's very near Notre Dame, so I wanted to be here.
He hikes with his wife the sand dunes of Michigan almost every day. And has been my coach here for almost coming up on a year, I guess. And I'm not the only one. I'm not the only pastor in church that he coaches. Over 110 churches he has coached in his career and is currently coaching a lot of pastors and churches. And I just love every time I get to spend with you, Newt. I consider it an honor just to get to ask you a few questions about the topic of envy.
First, I wish I had a church like yours.
Why's that?
It just bothers me that you're in such a nice church and you're so nice. I envy you.
Well, Newt, I envy your name, because if I could be Newt Trainer, that would be awesome. How in the world how did you get Newt?
First, the Swedes would not let you be Newt Trainer. That's probably what, German? I'm not sure. But anyway, my dad was a great football fan, and Newt Rockne was a great coach at Notre Dame, which is probably everybody's favorite team there and around Columbus area. Anyway,
we believe that green and gold up down over here.
That's right. It's Knut in Sweden, but mostly Newt over here. But Joel, great to be with you. Honest, I love your attitude and your abilities. God's been good to you. And me, I'm grateful.
Yeah. Well, Newt, I want to get right into the topic of envy. And we're in this series called Chasing Wisdom, where a lot of the people in my church were young, we're hungry, and we want to live life well. And that would mean that we don't want envy to be a part of our life. But maybe let's just start at the ground level. And let me ask you, what is envy?
You know, it's when you wish you had something somebody else had, but it's more than that. It breeds a bad feeling toward that person. So I looked up all the verses, you know, on a concordance, and it's often linked with hatred and with wickedness. Jealousy, of course, everybody thinks of that. It's when you're not satisfied, you're not content.
When you look at your life and you look at the people that you've interacted with and pastored, what are some of the telltale signs of somebody who is struggling with envy?
First, when it comes to pastors, and I'm not roasting them at all, but it's so easy to think, I wish I were at that church, or I wish I had his abilities, even more personal, speaking or loving or it shows up in a bad attitude. And the opposite, I think we all understand contentment. Contentment is when you rest in God and in his sovereignty, and you're okay with who you are. You're still trying to do better. But envy shows up with putting people down, gossiping. In Romans 1, it's actually linked to the fallen nature of the world, and it says they became filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, depravity. They're full of envy and murder. Whoa, they're linked together.
It's almost like envy is, it's hidden. It's under the surface. I think anger shows itself, you know, usually. And a lot of the other sins that are these terrible sins, they show themselves. Envy is almost this, I don't know, it's this internal thing, a hidden thing. What do you feel like it when you look at the next generation coming up behind you, Newt? You look at people in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, people with young families. What do you feel like are some ways that we might be envious and we don't even know it? We're unaware of our envy in certain topics.
Envy is often related to possessions. I wish I had more. I wish I had that car. I think a deeper thing that you know you have envy when what you think about when you go to bed is what you don't have, instead of giving thanks for what you do have. There's a psalm that says, in the morning you thank God for his goodness, and in the evening you thank God for his faithfulness. And I know I'm envying somebody when I think about them and what they're doing or their abilities. It's lack of peace and lack of contentment. And Joel, it hits all of us. Let's all say that first. Pastors can easily wish they were somewhere else or had some ability. Every father, mother, even about children, it's just awful. It's not how God made us to feel in the heart, that's for sure.
Yeah. That proverb that says, you know, envy rots the bones. I feel like I have felt that before. Right? Where I think in my younger years before I was married, I longed to be married so badly. And I was resentful and bitter at other people's weddings. And I just felt it just rotted my bones. It robbed my joy. And so that, I just feel like that the envy is just this poison that it just kind of, you don't even maybe see the symptoms right away, but it just eats away at your body.
It keeps you from loving people. It keeps you from relaxing. It was good for me, Joel, just to read the verses again. It's just so easy to be there. You see kids do it. I mean, I was never the first in things growing up. God was good to me, but divorce and tragedy, and it was easy to look at somebody else and say, yeah, but if I had that, I would do better. That's baloney. We need to catch ourselves. And part of the remedy is always the sovereignty of God. Whoa. He rules over he's the giver of every good, perfect gift.
Yeah.
So I should be content. I shouldn't wish I were someone else.
Yeah. Newt, if someone's listening right now and they can identify ways in which they are envious, whether it be their materialistically envious, or they're relationally envious, or they're circumstantial envious, and they're just being honest with themselves, and they're going, I struggle with envy. What advice would you give somebody who's being honest about their envy? What practical things could they do to help rid that of their life?
Yeah, great question. I like Bob Newhart's way of counseling. If you've ever seen, if you people watching have seen his YouTube, he just says, stop it. Stop it. And it's not that easy. I do think when I realize and read, I'm pointing to a Bible, when I read that I am joined to Jesus Christ, that all my sins were carried on the cross to judgment, to hell, in a sense. He separated from the Father for me. I'm clean when I'm in Christ. When I realize that, I can make strides and I can relax. Who was it? David said, he formed me in my mother's womb. I don't know what that means, except he's Lord and sovereign. I can rest. Sovereignty of God, and that he's given you your gifts, even your looks, your background, so you can make purpose in life, so you can live where you are for his pleasure. I do think of that when I get envious. I try to get back to there. All I can do is be faithful in my little corner. That's a goal for everybody. And I'm going to tell you, I'm old. It never goes away. You're always thinking, But to rest in Christ, be content with the combination life, which is Christ in you. And, you know, it's just a wonderful home to go back to every time when you wake up in the morning and go to bed at night and in between.
It's good. You know, one of the reasons why we're doing these interviews or these podcasts, or whether you're watching or listening, the reason we're doing this is because there are people that have followed God a lot longer than I have and have a lot more wisdom to share than I do. And I want to ask you a question, Newt, that you'll be able to draw on your life's experiences to answer it. But my question is this: what have you seen people chase? What have you seen people, because of envy, chase? And over again, they go, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't chased it. It didn't satisfy me. I'm still not content. What are those things that we all might be chasing that you want to warn us from being envious of?
And besides a woman or a man first. I think the sexual thing is the hardest. Sometimes you envy about your own looks or your own physique or background, and you envy somebody else. You know, every commercial, not every, is designed to make you envy somebody else. Why don't they put a normal looking person advertising lipstick? Or everything's, so many things are designed that we would covet and want. And I understand ambition. I always wanted the church to grow. I always wanted our kids to behave. I just think envy is not always a house or a sports car. It's often looks or abilities. I love basketball. I still get to play a little bit. I see somebody else play and I think, man, why can't I do that? You know, I was never very good in sports. I made the team and sat on the bench. Just to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm with Christ. He's my God. I think God has already spoken to us, and I love debates about how God speaks. But clearly in 1 Corinthians 4:7, there it stared at me. And I preached my last sermon at the chapel on this. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, this is Paul, why are you proud? If it's a gift, you're not proud, you're grateful. You thank God. And I came to the place as a kid with some tragedy, death of a young sister, teenage, divorce of my parents, death of my mom with cancer in her 40s. I had to just say, this earth groans, creation groans, but Christ has called me to live like this. And I can't envy Billy Graham, because I have the same relationship with Christ he had. I can, as I abide. that to me is the only remedy. Otherwise, you're always chasing the wind, chasing the glamour, chasing something that never satisfies.
It's interesting that you even say the house, the car, because I think those are the typical, you know, examples that we might talk about. Like, do you want that Ferrari? Do you want that mansion? Do you want that pool? Do you want that vacation house? Well, sure, but a lot of us are content with our cars. I'm fine with a Honda CRV and fine with my house, but that doesn't mean I'm not envious. And there's other sneaky ways that envy creeps in and poisons us, and like Proverbs says, rots the bones. It takes a little bit more digging than just the surfacey examples, right?
Absolutely. And I think everybody has a chance to love equally, and the purpose of life is to love and to obey Christ, but also to serve others. Jesus, when Paul defines why he came to earth, he said he came, Philippians 2, became a servant. I don't have to envy anybody. I just need to serve people in my path and not make it all about me.
Yeah.
Joel, we used to have a guy in college, and this is not nice, but we called him That's Nothing. Because anytime you said something, he'd say, that's nothing. And I scored 12 points. That's nothing. We do it as a joke sometimes, my wife and I. But we never have to do that. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We try to serve others and make their life better. This whole civil unrest, this pain, I understand the unfairness a little bit, but we can serve, we can just do our part. We can build bridges. We don't have to envy or put down the opposite. Be content. A good friend taught me once, you can change the world, and the world is the people you know and the places you go. So I don't have to envy Billy Graham that went around the world or somebody like that. I just need to work on my world first, my own heart.
Yeah, good. Well, Newt, let me give you kind of a final four. They're quick questions.
Some of about Notre Dame.
That's the stupid one. Yeah, the stupid one I was telling you about. That'll be it. No, I'm just kidding. But some of these I think will be fun to answer, and then some of them will maybe catch you off guard, but it'll be fun anyways. Newt, what is question number one? What's a great old movie that every young person needs to see?
Joe, I was not allowed to go to movies when I was little. Right now, I'd say Harriet.
Harriet, yeah. Wait.
That's not a very old movie.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I cried. About the black oppression and slavery. She was the underground railroad rescued slaves.
Yeah.
Joel, an old movie, I don't know. I watch him once in a while.
That's a good answer right there. We'll leave it at that. Newt, what is one trait that you want to be known for?
Love.
Good.
You know, the chapel was a wonderful church, and I would probably get rated some B+ sermons, once in a while an A, and a lot of C+. But I prayed and worked hard that people would know I loved them. And I don't mean just the handsome people. You know what I mean, the wealthy. I mean everyone, I hope.
Yeah. What's one thing young people should do every single day to grow in their faith?
Well, I was taught read the Bible and pray, and I do still say that. Even when you don't have time to read a lot, to read a few verses and say, I need to do that. I think everybody at least a few times a week should kneel all by themselves and just worship God and say, I am your servant, and not ask for anything.
Yeah.
I tried to do that. I still do. And believe me, I want to ask for stuff, and I also don't like kneeling, because for me, it really does show, who do you think you are? And then when I see myself as a servant and as a child of God, I really don't have to envy. That was a long answer.
No, it's good. Would you rather, there's two options here, Newt. Both of these come from your belly button. Would you rather have unlimited Wi-Fi or unlimited condiments coming out of your belly button? Whenever you want.
Probably Wi-Fi, because I do a lot of Zoom too, and sometimes it fails. Yeah.
Okay, last one, bonus question. I said there would be four, but there's five. 58 years of marriage. I've got a lot of people.
59 in a week, and don't forget.
So by the time people hear this, it'll be 59. 59 years married. There's some people in our church that have been married for less than 59 hours, it feels like. And we're all trying to make our way. If you could look back over 59 years, give us one nugget of wisdom that will help us in our journey.
You expect me to say don't envy each other, don't you?
No. This is any topic.
Compromise. Don't try to make her like you or him like you. I give, serve, wash feet. Man, everybody's imperfect. But I say to people all the time, especially when I did lots of marriage counseling, why are you doing this? Why would you fight about that? Give in and love and serve each other. Boy, you'll be glad someday.
It's good. It's good. Well, Newt, it's an understatement of the year to say it's just great to have you and great to glean wisdom from you. We've got a lot to learn from you and people that have just gone before us. So I just want to say thank you for joining us. This has been part two of week two on envy in the Chasing Wisdom series at Three Creeks Church. Hope you have a great day. Thanks again, Newt.
Thank you, Joel.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. We hope this interview was encouraging and helpful as you chase wisdom and pursue a life well lived. To find out more about our church, connect with others, or to give online, visit 3creekschurch.com.